still turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28, a very well-known passage, verses 16 to 20. If you've been in Christian circles for long, then you know these verses, you've heard these verses, you might even have them on a wall somewhere, or on a coffee cup, or who knows what. But they still hold important truths that I hope will be instructive to us for this morning. So hear now God's Word, Matthew 28, verses 16 to 20. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Behold, I am with you always, to the end of the age." Thus ends this reading of God's Word, and I'm going to ask that you come with me before the Lord in prayer once again, and you're going to notice that I'm going to pray a lot today, before and after every talk, that the Lord would be both guiding my speech, but also guiding you on how to take it in and how to apply it. So let's come before the Lord. Our God in heaven, we do thank you once again that we can be here. We pray that you would speak to us from your word, that you would help it to come alive in our thinking, and that we wouldn't just look at these very familiar passages and move on without being touched, but we pray that you would stir our hearts by your Holy Spirit, and that you would guide us to your truth, and that we would apply that truth to the way we think and live, the way we speak, act, and react. We pray for your blessing upon us, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we do have some children here, and that's a good thing. So, children and adults, who ride a bike fairly regularly? Okay, now, I've told Nelson this, the church, the congregation of Nelson know this. I don't really like the Reformed hand raising. Reformed hand raising is below the shoulder, centrally located, hopefully no one sees you. You know, you can raise your hand. Who here rides a bike? Okay, you're learning slow, but you're like, no, I just don't ride it. That's all right. Okay, ooh, that's a good one. Well, if you ride a bike, then from time to time, you coast, right? So you pedal along, and then you get tired of pedaling, and so you stop pedaling, and you just glide along on the bike. Now, coasting is just a normal part of riding a bike. And yet, how long can you coast? Can you coast forever? Can you get on the bike, get started, and then just coast 4 kilometers to work? No. Can you coast uphill? I wish. But no, it doesn't work that way, does it? The easiest way to coast on a bike is downhill, but not up. And yet, we like coasting. We wish we could coast all the time. But life just doesn't work that way. You can't coast all the time on the bike. You can't coast all the time in life. It only works for a little while, and then more effort is needed to be put into it, or else you start getting into trouble. Because if you coast for too long, what happens? You begin to wobble, and eventually you will fall over. And if you happen to be going up a hill, you're probably going to start sliding backwards or fall off your bike. The same thing happens in all of life. Effort and investment is necessary for success. And I don't want you just to take my word for it. Think about food. You can eat leftovers out of the pantry or out of the fridge for only so long before they're going to run out, and you're going to have to cook something else. You can have a relaxing day at work from time to time where you just kind of coast with it. You have an easy day because there's not a lot on your schedule. And yet, if you coast for too long, you will get fired, or you will go out of business. You can't just walk around sipping coffee, chatting with your mates. Now, it's true, we all need a break from time to time. But you can't coast all the time. And yet I fear that too often we do that in our spiritual lives. We get started, we have a good period, and then we try and coast. And we put less and less and less effort into our spiritual lives, into the spiritual connection between us and our spouse, or between first passage again is Matthew 28, and that comes under our first heading, The Christian Doesn't Coast to Heaven. Now, to make this point from these verses, you need to remember what this passage is. What do we call this passage? I just said it, so it's not a hard question. The Great Commission. Thank you. Now, this is an organizing command that Jesus gave to his disciples for them to be disciple makers and to pass on knowledge to their disciples and thereby on to us. It is the organizing command for us today as Christians, as disciples of Christ. We are to be disciple makers wherever we go. As Jesus says, as you are going, make in this house, we do let the children stand on the couch but not bounce on the bed. Now, you probably don't have such rules, but the point is, each house has different rules. It's always fun when we take our family to one of the other cousins' house because there's always some little nuance that's a little bit different. You know, we may allow our children to play with guns and shoot at each other and play war games because I'm an American and I didn't think there was anything wrong with that. Other families, not so much. And we've had some kind of shocking things as I listen to in-laws rebuke the children. Like, well, actually, no, 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 I'm just getting snippy because I really wanted to go do that. Like, we might want to live. But to die to self comes at a cost. It was not meant to be pleasant. We dare not get upset when we have opportunities to share the sufferings of Christ. Because it's only when you actually are serving at a loss, serving when it hurts, that is actually when you feel most that power of God's resurrection at work in you by His Holy Spirit, giving you joy, equipping you to serve Him, and equipping you to really be a blessing to others. Now, in these verses that we've just read out of verses 34 to 38 of Mark 8, Jesus gives us four reasons why you should trust Him and why you should be willing to suffer in this way. We're going to go through these rather quickly. I'm not preaching on this text, I just want to cover these while we're here. The first is in verse 35. Jesus is telling you, give up your life for me. Because if you don't, you're not going to keep it anyway. It's such a fascinating irony. If you give your life willingly to Christ, you will find yourself most satisfied in your life, most joyful in your life, most fulfilled in your life. Don't waste your time trying to save your life, because it won't work. Because that is the time when you are guaranteed to lose. So follow Christ, get to work, and trust that He will make it worth it. The second reason is in verse 36, where He says, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? Now there's a popular idea in books and movies, I'm sure you've heard it at some point or another, that a person can sell their soul to the devil and get lots of money and riches in this life. I've heard that sort of myth many times. It makes for an entertaining story on a certain level. But it really doesn't make sense. Because if you were to gain the entire world in exchange for your soul, you'd lose out. That'd be like me offering